WYSL. Merry Christmas.
The WYSL stations present an hour of truth for the battered but proud people of the Empire State. From the financial and entertainment epicenter of New York City to the sleeping and empty small cities and towns of upstate, which once bustled with manufacturing, mining, and farming. We all know from inspiration, history, and nature, we deserve a return to the success and growth of generations past, a birthright being squandered by corruption in Albany, and the depredations of an insecure, scheming mountebank posing as governor, who loathes both us and himself. As liberty beckoned to enslaved peoples behind the Iron Curtain via American broadcast after World War II, we now say, believe, rise, and join us. Welcome to Radio Free New York.
Hello, everybody. This is Andrew Hollister, your host of Radio Free New York, and I'm joined in studio with Bob Savage.
Greetings all, and Director of Security Alfie's here, too.
Yes, she is.
And in the control room, Bob D'Angelo, making sure that we're pounding out there all over the place.
Yep. So one of the things I wanted to do is, before I break right into the show here, is talk about a little bit of Second Amendment SAFE Act stuff that's going on. And I don't know how many people are familiar with the name Ben Wassel, or maybe it's Wassel. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right. Does the name ring a bell?
I believe it's Wassel, I think.
Yeah. So the name came up recently. I was like, why is that name so familiar to me?
It is familiar.
His name, yeah. And this was the guy who was first ever arrested under the New York State SAFE Act.
What a lucky guy.
Yeah. So what's going on right now is there's actually an appeal being filed for his case. And it's going to be in Rochester. And I want to encourage anybody who's going to be in the area to go to this and show up and show support for the Second Amendment, show support for this guy. I'm going to read to you guys a little bit of information about him and a little bit of information about what is going to be happening. This is January 17th, so make sure you guys pull up your calendar here. Put January 17th on there because I really want us to get as many people here as possible. The address, I'll read it once or twice on the air, but then if you don't catch it, head over to my Facebook page. It's going to be there. You can search Andrew Hollister for New New York and go to the Facebook page. The event should be up. It's up currently, but they were having trouble linking it to my page. So as soon as they get that resolved, probably by end of day today, it'll be there. But the address is the M. Dolores Denman Courthouse, Appellate Division. It's 50 East Avenue, Rochester, New York, 14604.
Yeah, it's right down by Eastman Theater there, about a block and a half away.
There you go. Yep. So just going to put that out there one more time. That's 50 East Avenue in Rochester, New York, 14604, January 17th, and I believe it is 9 a.m.
So are we going to have the fact? You're going to give us the facts on this case, the fact pattern, what happened?
Yeah, so I'm going to give you what I found in the news. But first, what I want to give you guys is the information about this guy on the GoFundMe page. Because there is a GoFundMe page up. Looks like they raised about $10,000. Now, this was from March 19th, 2013.
Wow, this is right after the scene.
He is the first guy. I mean, they didn't waste any time whatsoever to basically get this guy arrested. So what I'm doing here is let me just make two quick adjustments here.
We'll just break down into small discussion groups while you make the technical adjustments.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry about this, guys. Okay. I've just got the cameras, including the TV here, and I don't know if that's a problem or not. So, okay. So, and to that point, we are live on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. So,
you need to turn the TV off, or are you okay?
No, I was okay. I just didn't know if it was what was going on in the background. Just
distracting you.
Yep. So, okay. So, here's the GoFundMe. This is put together by Ben's wife. And the reason I wanted to read this, I just wanted people to know the background of the first person who was arrested under the SAFE Act. So I'm just going to read this straight from the site. You know, it says, Ben Wassel, my beloved husband and father to both of our children, daughter age 4 and son age 4 months, is the first man charged with violating the unconstitutional SAFE Act gun law here in New York State. So that's the beginning, and that just gives you like a pretty good intro here. Now here's the information she put about him. My husband is a well-decorated 2-tour Iraq war veteran.
God bless him.
Yep. Yeah. So he served his country. And from his almost 8.5 years of service, he is currently 90% service-connected disabled. He suffered a traumatic brain injury from being blown up while serving in active duty in Iraq in 2006. There is no surgery or any medical way to fix this injury, which he sustained while serving his country, protecting our freedoms. My husband is being made an example in this prosecution. Ben has no criminal history. In time, his true character will become evident. Ben is being prosecuted by the New York State Attorney General's office. Any donations connected to this fund will be used to pay for my husband to have the best defense attorneys possible to fight for his rights, mine and yours. So, I mean, this is the guy. The very first guy arrested under the SAFE Act is a serviceman.
So what did he do? Did he have a an assault rifle, or have a mag that was too big, or?
Yeah. So it's interesting because I couldn't find much media information about this at all, actually, which is not terribly uncommon. Because they tried to sweep some of this stuff under the rug.
Yeah, they tried to hush it up.
So I'm pulling up an article here by USA Today. There was a similar one. Oh, just kidding. Advertisements. You can't get to these news sites anymore without them bombarding you.
Oh, my gosh. It really is.
Advertisements.
Takes forever to load.
Yep. So here we go. Tough new gun law in New York State nets first arrest. So,
thank you, rah-rah media. Isn't that great?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. When you make the term like that, you're literally trying to make it sound like a good thing, just right off the bat. So they go in to say, and the way this article is written, just contrasts so different compared to, obviously what his wife has to say. And it goes on to say that he sold an AR-10 and an AR-15 to an undercover cop. So SAFE Act is passed in January, if I remember correctly. By March, they already have undercover officers trying to get people to sell these firearms so that they can arrest people under the SAFE Act.
No underlying crime. I mean, he didn't have the AR-10 or the AR-15 that was used in some kind of a holdup or...
up until that point. And this isn't even when the deadline was to register the firearms, because the deadline didn't actually come till April of 2014.
No, as we've often commented on this radio station's Second Amendment shows, a number of New Yorkers became instant criminals with the passage of the SAFE Act.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. And so what's interesting about this article now, here's the thing. They do say in the article that the officer told him that he was a felon. And supposedly they have it on audio and video and all of this other stuff. I'm not sure what was actually presented in court. I'm not sure, any of that. The interesting thing is, clearly the officer isn't a felon. So I wonder if some of the appeal is, no, it didn't sell it to somebody with a felony. I don't know. I'm totally speculating, and I don't want to go down that route. The reason I want to point this out is because there was another SAFAC case that I was very, very much involved with about 2 years ago. And I sat through every single court case. It was all the way out in Lockport. I drove an hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours, depending on how bad the weather was, to go and sit on these and support our Second Amendment rights. And a group of people did. I mean, there was a bunch of people. There were times that we had 30 or 40 people in the courthouse, and the way the media reported it had nothing to do with what the charges were.
Right, exactly.
They said things like, oh, we found drugs in the car, we found face masks, all this stuff. None of that was even true. So I did want to bring some light to this. We're going to take a break, and then I'm going to remind you guys where to show up to protest.
Lend support.
Yep,
right.
Absolutely. So we'll be back in a moment.
Radio Free New York on WYSL and the WYSL stations.
We'll treat you like family at Mark's Pizzeria. We'll treat you like family at Mark's Pizzeria. Great pizza, fresh and good. Simply the best in your neighborhood. Come in, we'll get to know you. Call you by name. We can bring it to you any time of the day. Mark's Pizzeria, we'll treat you like family. Mark's Pizzeria.
Take it, Tony.
How's that, Pete?
Terrific, man. Hold on. Hello.
Honey, we need help. The house is freezing.
Oh, man, now I really got the blues.
What's the skinny, Pete?
Furnace won't fire and the house is freezing. What am I going to do, brother?
Call Taylor, 500-HELP. Their heating experts will fix things up and have you singing in no time.
500-HELP? Now that's a hot number.
I think I'm really getting it, man.
Call Taylor, 500-HELP.
You're listening to Radio Free New York
on the WYSL stations.
All right, guys, we are back here on Radio Free New York and just talking about the first guy arrested under the SAFE Act, talking about how the media does just, I want to say a good job. I mean, it's terrible. It's awful what they do, but they're very good at the bad things they do.
Effective is what you mean.
Yes, effective. Yeah. There we go. That's the term I'm looking for. How the media is just so terribly effective in taking people who have been persecuted for their Second Amendment rights and literally making them look like bad people so that people can feel good about what happens or acceptable with what's happening to them. And what we're talking about Ben Wassel, who is the very first person arrested under the SAFE Act. He has an appeals court case coming up January 17th. So it's after the holidays. Jot it down in your calendar. It's going to be at 50 East Ave in Rochester. If you oppose the SAFE Act, which I think many of you do, I think that one of the biggest things you can do is make sure you set aside the time and go there.
Did you mention there's a GoFundMe page for him?
There is a GoFundMe page. I will actually post that on my Facebook page after the show so that you guys can have that. Actually, you know what I'll do? I will post it at least in the chat right now so that everybody has that available. If you want to make a contribution to his GoFundMe page, I just posted it in the live feed. It should be available for you guys. An awful thing.
Do we know the status of Ben? I mean, he was obviously convicted, or there wouldn't be an appeal. Yep. Has he done time? I mean, he's an Iraq War veteran. He's 90% disabled, combat-related. Mm-hmm. Did they put him in the pokey? I mean, did they lock him up, or is he free on bail pending appeal, or what? Yes. What's the story?
So I'm not sure. I'm actually going to reach out to Jim Ostrowski, James Ostrowski. He's currently Ben's attorney handling the appeal. I'm not sure if he handled the case or not. This was actually brought to me last night, so that's why I don't have as much information about it. I was just surprised.
Here.
Yeah, I'll let you check out that. But Yeah, I mean, we've got to say no. We've talked about SAFE Act 2 on this show. We've talked about red flag laws. We've talked about the SAFE Act. And we've talked about the social media bill that's ironically been circling social media. And just how bad all of these are. People can't sit by idly. Like, if you want to see change, you got to start doing something. And I'm not saying people aren't. There are definitely people who are. But there are many, many people who aren't. We saw that in the last gubernatorial election.
Yeah, Jim Ostrowski does represent him.
Yes. Yep. Yep. So I saw that. I'll call him later today. Maybe I'll see if he wants to come on the show. Although I know, as the attorney, he probably can't actually talk about what's going on because they have certain requirements as attorneys. So I'll see if he's getting updates. We'll talk about maybe Monday. We'll go through there. I'll give you guys a good update on that. Something else I'm going to give you guys, kind of the beginning of the show is a bit of a downer, right? You know, kind of just reminding you of all the bad stuff going on here in New York. I want to turn this around a little bit and give you guys a little hope, talk about something positive, that I think the listeners, at least a good portion of you, would be interested in knowing is, guess who's on tour right now?
Phil Collins.
How about Larry Sharp?
Oh, Larry Sharp.
Larry Sharp. Yeah,
I didn't think he was going to go away.
Nobody thought he was going to go away. But at the same time, nobody thought he'd be moving around so quickly. So Larry Sharp is actually just wrapping up a lunch with Larry in Schenectady. And then he's doing an event later tonight in Hudson. And tomorrow, Larry and I are going to be together in Grand George. We're going to be at the Liberty Den event, 9 a.m., and we will be there as some of the speakers. So Larry started this, I think, last week, kind of started traveling around. So if you guys are following the Larry Sharp page, you probably saw he's starting to do some go lives again. And you know, we're not committing to where this is going to go, but absolutely what we're doing is making sure that we build on the momentum that we built in this last campaign. We don't want to let that go. Everybody worked really, really hard. You guys worked really hard. Larry worked his butt off. So we don't want that hard work to be squandered. We're definitely moving forward. And one of the things that people often say when they meet me, which is actually interesting. So I met somebody yesterday morning and they said, Andrew Hollister. Oh, you know, and we were talking and somehow it came out that I ran for office. They're like, oh, did I know that? I think I know that. And they're like, wait a minute. Are you Andrew C. Hollister? And it was crazy.
The Who else difference. Could it be?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it was crazy the difference in the recognition. Once you added the middle initial, then all of a sudden, like, people remembered and knew and everything. So it's great, you know. Yeah. But one of the things that I learned in this election, because people ask, they ask all the time, you know, or they just kind of make as a statement. They'll say, wow, I bet you just learned so much. Well, one of the biggest things I learned in this previous election is we have so much work to do. So much work. I mean, New York State, we all know it needs work. We all know it's hard work. But geez, we have just a mountain of work ahead of us to turn this state around. And we can do it. We can absolutely do it. But we need everybody to work together to make it happen. So what are we going to do? I don't have 100% roadmap, but I can tell you some of what we're doing is we're encouraging people to run for local office. We talked often about turning your county gold, turning your city gold, your town. We're walking that walk. We're talking that talk. We're out here, and we want to encourage people and let them know they're not alone. We're here to help. We're going to help build some committees in counties across the state. And in a month or two, you might see us introducing some candidates. So I wanted to give you guys that update because people are all day, all night, sending me text messages, Facebook messages, emails, tweets. And it's always something along the lines of, I hope you guys don't stop. I hope you do something again. What are you guys going to do? And I want to give all of you guys that, I guess that update that yes, things are happening. We're doing stuff. It's just not, it's not every day from 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. You know, we're working now, but, we have started some traveling and going across the state and making sure that we're at least continuing the momentum,
staying visible
and, you know, helping others do the same thing. So it's very exciting. Can't wait to talk to Larry. Actually, Larry and I will be talking after the show. So it'll be interesting to see what he's got planned.
So anyway, doing a quick search here on back to Ben Wassel for just a minute. He was originally charged under the New York Safe Act in 2013. He was indicted on 5 Class D felonies. Those are the smallest ones that you can, you know, be subject to. Did not include the SAFE Act charge. That's interesting. On Friday, Judge Michael D'Amico reduced the number of charges to 3, third-degree criminal possession of a firearm, 2 counts of third-degree criminal sale of a firearm. And the he said the 5 charges were repetitive. The jury deliberated for a couple of hours, and then they convicted Ben on those 3 points. And, of course, the USA Today headline was, Wassel convicted on all counts, which of
sure,
course,
which
yeah, all count all yeah. counts after the judge dismissed 2 of them.
Yeah.
So including the SAFE Act provision. Mm-hmm. So anyway,
it's interesting because the criminal possession of the firearm was probably a SAFE Act charge. So it probably wasn't
so
even the wording of the article, they probably don't 100% understand the SAFE Act, which, you know, people still don't. Here we are, you know, 5 years later, but definitely a few months after it was passed, I'm sure they just had no idea.
Yeah. So a quote from his defense attorney at this point was Michael Deal. He said he was discouraged with the decision. We are very disappointed. This is a hard-fought case. While disappointed, Ben does respect the jury's verdict, of course, because he's a patriot and a good guy.
Yeah.
We can certainly thank the poorly drafted SAFE Act for making a criminal out of a person who wasn't, and a criminal out of a guy who served his country. Like
yeah.
The confusion inherent in that act, the repercussions of that, are now to be felt. Wassel was sentenced. It doesn't say what he ultimately got, because this is a story from 2014. But technically, the maximum was 7 years for each charge. But the defense attorney said he expected Wassel's sentence to be 7 years or less.
Jeez.
1 minute in the pokey for this is...
Yeah.
Is ridiculous.
Well, and then it also says a minimum of 2 years in prison for the Class D felony.
For the Class D,
yeah.
Hold a minimum charge of 2 years. Mm. The time increases depending on the violent nature of the incident, which there was none.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. So I wonder if he spent 2 years for each.
I mean, I don't know. There's a sentencing guidelines, and you'd have to figure out whether the sentences were concurrent or consecutive.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't, not being a judge, I don't know what the rules are.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know either. Just
a tragic thing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Thank you, Andrew Cuomo. Thanks. And I guess that makes you feel really good, right? Really good, important, like a big shot.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And the New Yorkers are all so much safer now that we've locked up Ben Wassel.
Yeah. Yeah. So it'll be interesting. I will personally be there at the appeal. I've already got it on my calendar. And like I said, I'll try to get an update from James Ostrowski, who's currently his attorney. It's interesting. His former attorney kind of sounds like a car promo or something. Mike Deal or, you know, something like that. But yeah, I will. I'll get some more information about that. I'll try to reach out to the family too and update you guys as listeners, let you know what's going on. Following that, I wouldn't call it a protest, but showing in support, everybody who has time, we're going to actually march to the Liberty Pole, which is just right up the street from there. And I think we're going to have just a small rally there from my understanding, based on the information that was given to me. So if you can make it, once again, I know it's cold outside. I know it's just following the holidays.
Next week should be. I'm sorry. What was it? Oh, that's in January. That's not next week. Okay.
Yeah. It's about a month from now. Plenty of time to plan.
Just in time for the January thaw.
Yes.
It'll be 55 degrees and sunny.
There you go. Shorts and t-shirt weather. Right.
In upstate New York, it is. Yep. So you mentioned the Lockport case before we go to break here.
Yes.
There was a big show of support for that case.
There was. We had 30 plus people multiple times there. The stuff that the media reported was just sickening. You know, seeing it firsthand
distorted the hell out of it, I'm sure.
Absolutely. They were publishing unofficial information from the police force, which is just whether they made it up the police made it up. Yeah. And my wife, who saw a lot of this, literally told me what was done. She said, wow, I used to have so much faith in the justice system. And after watching this process, she's like, I don't know how I can ever trust it. So, and that's somebody who, you know, she doesn't really get involved in politics.
But she came from the Eastern Bloc. She knows where up she speaks.
Yes, absolutely. So that right there says a lot. Says a lot.
All right, it's Radio Free New York. He is Andrew C. Hollister. That's C. Andrew with a C. And we'll be back with more.
You're listening to the Voice of Liberty. AM 1040 Avon Rochester, FM 92.1 Rochester, FM 95.5 Spencerport, and WYSL1040.com everywhere.
Tour the days before Christmas. You can tell by the sound. The face is so nuts, just fast food can be found. Shopping, the school play, decorations, and snow. For quality family food, where can you go? When what to your wondering eyes should appear but a juicy Wahlburger, a frosty root beer, handmade ice cream, crispy fries, even Waldo. Too busy to sit there? Then get it to go. And since Tom Wall's quality and value are things you can see, now you can get home to put up that tree. Tom Walls wishes your family a season of cheer, a wonderful holiday, and a tasty new year. But just as you're settling tonight in your bed, hark! What's that sound that you hear overhead?
Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas to all! And make no mistake, it's not a hamburger, it's Tom Walls' ground steak!
A holiday greeting from Tom Walls' family to yours. 9 locations in the metro.
You're listening to Radio Free New York
on the WYSL stations.
Well, we can't let another Radio Free New York go by without Andrew Cuomo's greatest hit.
We're not going to make America great again. It was never that great. We have not reached greatness. We will reach greatness when every American is fully engaged.
When every American agrees with you.
Yep. That's definitely how Cuomo sees it. And to that point, Cuomo was recently asked by, I believe it was the Western New York Times, if he's going to focus on upstate or not. And the answer he gave was just really awful, I guess is the best, you know. They actually asked him multiple times. They sent an inquiry to his office, to his, you know, media secretary, whatever the term would be for that person who works under him and handles those correspondence. And one of the things that they asked him, they said, where is it? They basically said, hey, you know, in 2010, you basically just lost Western New York. Said, and then in 2014, the map changed drastically. It was like a lot of upstate. And they said, now
a lot of upstate voted for him?
No, against him.
Yeah.
He only lost Western New York in 2010, and then in 2014
expanded all of upstate.
Yeah, that loss expanded all across upstate New York. He lost the majority of upstate New York.
Yeah, Tompkins County.
Yeah, I think in Erie, maybe.
Erie's a reliably Democrat. But Tompkins, of course, is like a little Finger Lake San Francisco.
Yeah, and then there was a couple in the Adirondacks, like one at the tippy top of the state there. I forget. But now in 2018, I mean, he just had a little blue dot. And that's it. So they reached out to him and said, hey, would you sit down with us? Would you talk with us about the erosion of voter support for you in upstate New York?
He doesn't care.
Yeah, exactly. So he went November 7th, no response. November 9th, no response. November 15th, no response. And then finally, November 26th, they got a response from his spokesperson who said this. The governor won nearly 3.5 million votes, the largest of every governor in history, and won every population center in every corner of this great state.
Oh, every population center. Oh, thank you very much. So thank you for making our case about the Electoral College.
Yes, yes. And I guess New York City is like really the only corner of the state.
They don't care. The New York City elites don't care about upstate. They basically see us as a big park. When you see the New York State, I Love You, New York Tourism ads on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Look at it. It's all about, you ski up there, you know, and you snowboard up there, and you fish, and then you water ski, and then you go back to civilization.
Yeah.
I mean, they literally put on their pith helmet, mm-hmm. and they come up here, and they look at all of us as just a bunch of, you know, bumpkins who need to be watched over.
Well, and then the next part of the statement actually speaks to that perfectly, because the next part of the statement says focusing land instead of people, which is that the root of this inquiry is misleading and divisive. And essentially what the Cuomo administration is saying here is upstate New York is just land, not people.
Right.
That's literally
he would be perfectly fine if everybody in upstate New York just like en masse got up and moved to North and South Carolina.
Yeah.
Because it's fewer people to vote against him.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And so that I just stumbled across that today and I was like, wow, you know, way to. And just weeks ago, he was in Erie County, I think, and he made the statement, "I'm upstate's voice." I don't know if you saw that. He made a statement.
What a joke.
He's the voice of upstate New York.
Sure he is.
And here we are just a week or two later. And yeah, now his statement has totally changed.
The voice of the SAFE Act. He's the voice of no fracking.
Yep.
He's the voice of increased taxes. Soon he's going to be the voice of single payer health care if he gets his way.
Oh, I hope not. I so hope not. That's just like we simply can't afford it. Actually, ironically, you know, he went on to say that New York State just couldn't possibly afford that $13 billion tunnel repair. He said, well, there's no way we could never afford it. We could never possibly pay that. Well, single payer health care costs way more than that.
Dopey bridge costs $6 billion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just a bridge in New York, let alone healthcare. So, yeah, that was... I figured I'd share that with you guys. I saw that, and I was like... We talk often about how disconnected he is from upstate. But then when you make a statement saying that focusing land instead of people, you know, that is so telling... That he really just thinks of us as land, you know. We're not much more than that. So
sees us as subjects. Just do as you're told, and you know, give us your guns
and your liberties and your freedom and your social media passwords and
tote that barge, lift that bail.
Yep. So the other thing I stumbled across, ironically linked to this article, or maybe not ironically at all, is the highest paid educators in the state of New York.
Oh, this is obscene.
Yeah.
By the way, you saw that the nitwits in Albany just gave themselves a pay raise.
I did see the headline. I didn't read into it.
$79.5 is what they're paid now. That's before they get committee assignments and they get what are called Lulus.
Yep.
They're going to $130. But not right away. They're going to phase it in. This is what Albany thinks phasing in is. January 1st, in other words, in 3 weeks,
yeah,
they're going from 79.5 to 110.
Oh, could I get that as a raise?
Then they'll go to 130, like, in 2 years.
Yeah, yeah.
That's phasing it in.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. That's just—it's too much.
Just by way of perspective, the Texas legislature, the state legislature, only meets once every 2 years.
Yeah.
Lawmakers in Texas are paid $7,200.
Yep.
In New Mexico, it's a volunteer position.
Volunteer position. Yeah. I think it should be. But the reason it can't be in New York is because they've made it a career. And right. It needs to be public service.
And there's a laughable rationale behind the massive, you know, the huge smash and grab in terms of increasing their already obscene compensation. They said it'll cut down on corruption because they won't be so tempted.
Yeah. Did you happen to catch if they were going to allow outside income or not? Was that in there?
I didn't see that. Yeah. I'll check it out.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. So the number one highest paid educators in the state are actually in Erie County, interestingly enough. Martha Kavanaugh makes $530,000 a year in the Hamburg Central School District. Eric Benson makes $235,000 and a bunch of little change and stuff like that in Buffalo Public Schools. And Ryan Bowers makes $148,000 in Buffalo Schools. Now, the only other county that was on the top 10 list that this radio station covers is my home county, Monroe County. Joan Hamm at $140,000 in the Webster School District. John Pavone at just under $140,000. Actually, at Edison Tech in the city, which is interesting, the Rochester City School District. And following up right behind him at $137,000, almost $138,000, is Rita Gaither, also at Edison Tech in the city school district.
Every one of those city schools that graduates 46% of its students.
Yeah. Woo-hoo! Yeah.
Things are looking up there.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, I don't know. Maybe these people have been here for like 60 years. I don't know how you end up making that money in a district that's failing.
How many superintendents has the Rochester City School District had? Like about a dozen?
I think they've had...
Five or six, anyway.
Five or six in the last 8 to 10 years, I think is what it was. So
it's a revolving door, and they all make a quarter of $1 million, and they walk out the door with all kinds of obscene benefits. New York, New York Daily News, New York Times. State legislators in New York are poised to get a long, long-awaited pay raise, a $50,000 boost that would make them the highest-paid state lawmakers in the country. But the salary increase, which was unanimously approved on Thursday by a special compensation commission, in other words, us, came up with some important caveats. The commission voted to curtail outside income to 15% of their salary.
Mm. All right, 15%, huh? So it's going to be $130,000, you said?
Yeah, so it'll be about another $20,000 they can add out there.
Yeah, let's see here. Oh, that was the wrong button on the calculator there.
Quote from Carl McCall, chairman of the State University of New York's Board of Trustees, one of the commission's four members, the Compensation Commission. There is no question that over time, the legislature has not always lived up to its full opportunities to convince the public it's a hardworking, conscientious, honest organization. We really have to make sure that we send signals to the public about how serious they are about doing their job and doing it well. How does giving them 50 grand more accomplish that, Carl?
Yeah. Well, and let's just think about that. I mean, if they were making 79.9 before, right? And so at a $50,000 increase, you're talking about a sizable percentage, a 62% pay raise.
Right. 62%. And they can still make 20 grand on the side.
Yeah. Well, and let's not forget, too, that they can get the Lulus. which put some of them up to $250,000 already.
Well, supposedly some of those have been dialed back, too, but they're not specific in the article about it.
Yeah, of course. It's like, oh, yeah, we shaved 10 cents here, there, called it a sale. You know, that's... yeah, so that's just frustrating. New York State always spending our hard-earned money. And I'll probably talk about this in either the next show or the show after, or maybe when I'm in Czech Republic. I don't know. I'm going to talk a little bit about taxes and just, you know, I'm working with my CPA right now looking at the taxes that my wife and I were both small business owners. And as a small business owner, you get hit the hardest, especially if you're a DBA or an LLC. You pay an additional 12% or 12.5% self-employment tax.
SET, yep.
Yep, on top of your regular income tax. So you just get slammed. And I'll talk with you guys in one of those episodes about, man, how much that hurts and how my wife literally said, wow, this makes me not want to earn money. I did half my weddings for free.
And they're fine with that, by the way, because they want you to depend on government.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. So we'll take another short break here and we'll be back in a moment.
It's Radio Free New York. Tell a friend about the program and thanks so much for joining us.
There's a place in the village of Avon you and your critters will love. Whether they're big or small, whether they've got hair, fur, or feathers, Avon Feed fits every need. There's a full selection of pet foods for dogs and cats, bird feeders, suet, and all kinds of quality wild birdseed. Check out our frequent flyer birdseed program. Buy 10 bags of birdseed, get the next bag free. Choose farm feeds and great equine products like Blue Seal and Neutrina. Find everything for your pet from feeding bowls to toys, leads, collars, beds, crates, and tie-outs. Avon Feed and Supply has what the big pet chain stores will never have. Tim Cole and his great knowledgeable staff. And if you think you'll save money at that pet superstore, well, think again. While you're at Avon Feed, don't forget the two-legged pets with River Rat Thousand Island cheese and great flavors, including hard-to-find mean and nasty, plus once again nut butters, Nunday mustards, and Rickles pickles. Open weekdays 9 to 6, Saturday 9 to 4. Avon Feed and Supply, West Main at the bottom of the hill, just west of the circle.
You're listening to Radio Free New York
on the WYSL stations.
That would be with Andrew C. Hollister.
Yep, here we are. We're back on Radio Free New York going through some of the Facebook comments here on the show. A bunch of people watching right now. We've got Jacob joined us on the show, Dan, Barbara, Dawn, and Douglas. Dan says his last raise was 0.25% at 14 cents. That's so what his raise was.
You're a small business owner. What kind of raise did you get this year?
Me? I don't think I got any raises this year. I spent a lot of time campaigning, so I didn't get much of anything this year, to be honest. If I were to compare last year's income to this year's, I actually don't know. I haven't made it that far in the CPA thing. I got one on Thursday, so I'll let you guys know. But I'm assuming it's going to be significantly less is my assumption. Douglas says, when you get to questions, what is your opinion on choice voting? Douglas, if you could clarify the question for me,
I don't know what choice. Do you know what choice voting is?
I'm not sure what choice voting is. But if you comment back with a little more description of the question, I'd be happy to answer it and, you know, give you my pointed opinion on whatever it might be. And to that point, if you guys do have a question, maybe you're listening in the car, maybe you're listening on your lunch break or somewhere in between, feel free to call us here on the show and ask us some questions on the air or give me your feedback or opinion. That number is 585-346-3000. Definitely just give us a call, ring in. I love it when you guys call because then I know you're listening. I know you guys are listening anyways, but love taking the phone calls. So something that I was going to spend some time talking about after seeing the teacher salaries, And also seeing a lot of my friends and people of all ages. You know, I'm talking about people who have grandchildren, they're empty nesters, you know, the whole thing. They're in retirement, all the way to friends who have recently started in college or graduated college. And then the friends right in the middle who, you know, they've got a family, they've got kids. They're not really in either of those categories. I see them having a few issues in life, one of them being the holidays are coming up and people are scrambling for money. They're trying to figure out how they're going to afford the holidays. It's expensive to have people over to eat. They've got gifts. They've got the whole everything. So at some point, I want to talk a little bit about how I've managed my finances, because it seems the way I do things are a little different, and I've never really been taught per se how to manage them, other than, you know, what comes in and what goes out, make sure what goes out isn't more than what comes in. That's, you know, but I wanted to spend some time on that. But as the education thing came up and I saw how much those teachers were talking, or getting paid, I then noticed just more issues with RCSD audits. And we've talked about this, you know, I think 2 or 3 weeks ago. And it really brought up the idea of public education versus private education versus homeschooling. And you could almost call homeschooling, you could probably call homeschooling private education, technically. It's not public education. It's education in your home or in a friend's home.
Indoctrination-free education.
Exactly. Yeah. So I know that we don't have nearly enough time to cover this in this radio in the remaining time of the show. But I want to plant those seeds, and we'll probably talk about it on Monday, I think. I really want to talk about all three of them, public, private, and homeschool. And something that most people don't know about me, I actually went through all three. So I had some time in private school when I was young. Then my parents, they couldn't afford private school. So they're like, maybe we'll try homeschooling. They couldn't afford that either.
How old were you when this was taking place?
So I did private school up until fifth grade.
Okay.
And then we took a year off. We did homeschool. And then my parents, they tried to save up as much money as they could, kind of got like a grant / scholarship through the church, and got me in seventh and eighth grade. And then at that point, they were like, we are so out of money. We can't afford this. You're going to public school. We can't even afford to homeschool you, which was fine.
Did you go to city schools?
I did. I graduated from Wilson Magna on Genesee Street. For those who have been in the Rochester area for a long time, would remember Wilson as the old West High.
Do you have your battle scars? Can you show us?
I have no battle scars. You know, I get along with everybody. Anywhere I go, I don't really cause trouble.
Did you get caught in the crossfire?
Yeah. To that point, yes, because they used
I was kidding. You got caught in the crossfire.
So what was used often, I don't think they use anymore, is pepper spray in schools by police, actually. So there were two, maybe three instances that I recall, where a fight broke out in the cafeteria and they just showed up and just like sprayed the area. And there was very poor ventilation. It was in a basement, you know, and I just remember like me and a bunch of students, we were there together sharing garbage cans as everybody was like puking into the garbage cans. And who even knows who started the fight, who was even involved in the fight, but everybody there suffered. I mean, it was probably at least 100, if not 200 kids just puking together.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
Yep. So the other time that happened, so I lived just under a mile and a half away from school. So I walked every day. School district doesn't even provide a bus. But I thought that was great. You know, as I look back at it, I'm like, yeah, every day I was responsible for me. I had to wake up. I was responsible to get myself to school. Didn't matter if it was cold, rainy, whatever. It was my job. There's no, oh, the bus didn't show up, you know. So I look back and I'm like, yeah, that was awesome. That really built some responsibility for me. So one day after school, there was Madison High down the street. There was some football rivalry going on. And as I'm leaving school at the end of the day, there's a giant group of kids. Like, I think it was the Wilson football team on one side of the street. And on the other side of the street was either the basketball players or the football players from Madison. And people were talking all day about how there's going to be this huge fight because of something that happened the night before. And six RPD cars come zipping down the street, and they sprayed the whole street. I mean, just sprayed the whole street. I was like almost a half a block away, and I was just like coughing and gagging the whole mile and a half home. I mean, it was crazy. So I don't think that they can get away with that anymore. I don't think that's allowed.
I would think in an area like that, there'd be some environmental issues.
Yeah,
I mean, pepper spray is
yeah, and I don't really know toxic. If it was something else, if it was mace or what. I'm not really privy to what
tear
they
gas?
Do. Yeah, who knows? But I certainly remember that the joke from a lot of students was, man, they spray us so much, we could use pepper spray as mouthwash, you know, or something like that, or as breath spray. So yeah, so that did happen a couple times.
But you did get an education.
I did. You know, I was in the IB program, the International Baccalaureate program. So it wasn't the standard high school education. We were competing with students across the world, you know, Japan, Switzerland, like that whole thing. But that program is as good as it was. I did find myself still bored in class, and I found classes that I wish I could have taken, but I couldn't because I was in that program. So I think probably the largest benefit that public schools have is their AP courses and kind of like course choice and course selection. I would have loved to take a shop class or a woodworking class. I would have totally loved that. There was a class called Virtual Enterprise that I didn't even know my school offered at the time. And I met one kid in the hallway, you know, I was like, what is that class? He's like, oh, it's Virtual Enterprise. Like,
sounds like a junior achievement.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was awesome. What you had to do, it started with like a business simulation, and you were like a hot dog stand or something. And you had to predict based on customer trends, how many hot dogs to buy from your supplier, what the cost is, set your pricing, not make too many hot dogs that day, so then you throw them out, you know, like cost right. of goods sold, the whole everything.
You're simulating running a business.
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. I wish I could do that.
That was a great program about junior achievement. As a matter of fact, at another Rochester radio station where I was the operations manager back in the 70s, we had a junior achievement group there, and they would do exactly what you do. They would produce a show. Mm-hmm. The students would produce a show. They'd have, you know, they'd rotate DJ duties.
Okay.
And they'd go out and they'd sell advertisements.
Yep.
They'd record ads and produce the whole show.
Wow, that's awesome.
And it was kind of a neat little thing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so there was stuff like that. And then I found out there was like and you guys know I'm a computer geek, right? That's my thing. So then I found out there were like Cisco networking classes that the school offered, but because I was in this other program, I couldn't like sign up for them. I couldn't take them. I was really kind of bummed about it, to be honest. But I look at that and go, yeah, you know, those are things that homeschool kind of could offer, but not really. I mean, you got to have a lot of resources to be able to do that. In private school, we didn't even have AP courses. Now, I know some private schools today are starting to offer like one or two or three. Some of the higher end private schools definitely have AP score or AP classes. But that was one of the things I saw. And I was like, you know, because at the same time, once I graduated, my brother and sister, they actually got a scholarship. So they went to private school for their last years. And I saw the classes that were offered to them and couldn't help but feel like they were actually getting I don't want to say screwed, but, you know, they didn't have the availability that I had. And at the time, the Rochester City School District and Wilson was actually rated a really, really good school. We were ranked initially 24th in the country. And then as it dialed back, I think by my junior year, we were like 85th or something like that. And then when I graduated, we weren't on the charts anymore. So, but it wasn't that long ago.
Well, no, it was 1950s. That was when.
yeah. Yeah.
I don't think anybody remembers those days, let me tell you.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, so what I would love for you guys to do is tell me what your thoughts are on private school versus public school versus homeschool. And we'll pick up this conversation. I want to give you guys my feel, my take on my experiences in each of those three categories. And I'd love to hear from you guys what your thoughts and experiences were as well. And I think with that, we're here at the end.
Yeah, I got 45 seconds more if you had something else that you wanted to tell them about. Now, you're going to be going to the Czech Republic.
I will be in the Czech Republic. Yep, I'm leaving Saturday the 15th.
So your next broadcast is going to be from what, Prague?
Well, Monday and Friday, I'll be here. So I'm leaving next Saturday, not tomorrow.
Oh, next Saturday.
Next Saturday.
Oh, okay.
Yep, yep. So I'll have two more shows. But then, yes, my next broadcast, we actually tested all the software yesterday, made sure we ironed out any bugs. Everything looks to be working great. So I will broadcast two Mondays from now from Prague in the Czech Republic. And then the following Friday, I will be in a place called Rovensko, which is a small little town in Czech Republic, but we've got really good internet there. So I think we'll be fine, but we'll...
Your car radio is going to be displaying Cyrillic, and that's why.
Yeah, just there you go. Yep, yep. But it's going to be a lot of fun, and I hope you guys tune in and catch those shows as well.
Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks for listening to Radio Free New York. Stay free.